starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Caitlin Mulcahy is a pediatric speech-language pathologist with a private practice in Riverside, Rhode Island, called Competent Communicators. She first started thinking about private practice when feeling burned out during COVID, and by 2022, she took the leap and started her own practice. I've gotten to know Caitlin during her time in the Grow Your Private Practice program, and it has been so amazing to watch her business shift to become AAC-focused and watch her create the work-life balance that she craved. In this episode, she talks about how she loves working with children and how she's becoming known for specializing in AAC. Caitlin shares how she feels fulfilled being able to do this work with clients in a more personalized, meaningful way. If you're feeling burned out and have been thinking about starting a private practice and you have something that you want to specialize in, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, CEO of The Independent Clinician and founder of Private Practice School. First, I started my own private practice. And then over the past 15 years, I've worked with over 10,000 SLPs and OTs to start and grow their successful private practices so they can have more freedom, flexibility, fulfillment, and finances. I created the Private Practice Success Stories podcast to share what's possible for you, your family, your clients, and your community when you choose private practice. We'll share everything from small private practice side hustles to flexible lifestyle private practices to traditional brick and mortar practices and everything in between. You'll meet regular clinicians just like you who followed our steps and are now living their private practice dreams. If they can do it, you can do it too. So let's get started. Okay, so before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
My name's Caitlin Mulcahy. My private practice is Competent Communicators, LLC, and I'm located in East Providence, Rhode Island.
So I am so excited to be doing this call with you. And we're not that far away from each other, right? You're in Rhode Island. I'm in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So I always love meeting, getting to hear from people who are kind of in the same region. But I want to really dive into like what your private practice is like now. But before we do that, can we please start at the beginning of your private practice journey and talk about where were you like career-wise when you started thinking about private practice?
I think the first time I thought about private practice was sort of during COVID, like the height of COVID when things first started. I had recently accepted a new job in like a bigger private practice in the Newton, Massachusetts area, which I really liked. But I mean, I started working there in September and then in March we went virtual with everything and with the type of clientele I see, which is mostly autism, lots of non-speaking kids. It was pretty difficult to kind of just go to a new employer and then just transition right over to virtual and parent coaching and all of that in the middle of a pandemic. And that was around the time, too, that I found the Meaningful Speech course about Gestalt Language Processing. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And I thought about wanting to specialize. And then over time, that kind of turned into like specializing at that practice. And I was like, well, if I'm sort of already doing this, why not just kind of take the jump and do it on my own anyway?
Yes. And I love that. And listeners, think about all of the continuing ed courses that you've done. Like think about whether it's something like Meaningful Speech, whether it's like Lee Silverman voice treatment or something about sensory or whatever. it's so exciting to realize that like that information is in your brain and you can serve either people in a school or a hospital or someone else's private practice or your own private practice, right?
Yeah, that was definitely a big thing when like my director started getting emails of people asking to see me. I was like, wait, like maybe this is an idea that I can kind of just go with. And I had a good relationship with her and I figured if it doesn't work out, I can always kind of fall back and go back if I need to.
So what happened next? You got the meaningful speech certification. You started like kind of realizing like, hey, my information here is valuable, not just to the practice I'm working for and the clients, but like potentially for me too. So what happened next?
It took me a while to really start considering. And then I want to say it was probably right around a year ago now that one night, I don't know, something happened at work that I just didn't like. And I just went home and was like, I'm going to apply for an LLC. And I was like, I'm just going to apply and like see what happens. And then I got my LLC maybe like September, October of 2022. And then I had an old OT colleague reach out to me and she had started her practice in January of 2022. And she was like, hey, I'm looking for someone to share a space. Like, would you be interested? And then my LLC went through and then I had this idea for space with her. And then I just kind of was like, I don't know, I took it as just another sort of like sign that things were moving and to just kind of go with it. And so I started seeing clients there in January of this year. I started part-time and then I transitioned to full-time in July.
Oh, I love that. And how cool that like you were able to lean on another professional, right? To kind of collaborate with OT as far as the shared space. And I would imagine like that probably has been a good source of referrals for you potentially too.
Yeah, there has been some discrepancies with like insurances that she takes that I don't take or I take that she takes. But I have gotten 3 or 4 clients from her, which when you're on your own, that's a good percentage of clients you're seeing. So yeah, it's been good. It's nice because she has some like motor equipment, which I can use. She's only there 3 days during the week and I'm there 5. So I have 2 days that I have the whole space to myself. So I'm able to arrange clients on those days that need more support or may need a quieter area and not have another kid in there because it is a small shared space. And it's been really nice being in Rhode Island. Rent is just so expensive. So starting out being able to split it with someone was just a special treat, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And like, that's one of the things that does stop people sometimes from moving forward with private practice is thinking about the expense of having a clinic location. So usually I teach people that you can start on the side. You can start by seeing people in their homes and like whatever else. But if an opportunity comes up that you can like sublease a space or share a space or that kind of thing, that can be an awesome way to get started, a lot less expensive than you doing it on your own. So I love that you were able to share that space. My next question is, what types of clients are you seeing now through your clinic?
So I was fortunate that I did not have a non-compete. So I had quite a few clients elect to follow me, which I think was beneficial with doing the meaningful speech. And I also did Jesty's like sensory certification because the types of clients I see, they don't typically just go to any clinic. They need someone more versed in AAC, Gestalt language, sensory processing. So I would say majority of my caseload right now is 6 and under. I definitely have a couple of outliers. I have an 8-year-old, I have a 12-year-old, a 7-year-old, I think actually a couple. And then I do some early intervention, which has been always something I really enjoyed. Even when I was working like my first job in Florida, I had a lot of early intervention clients in the mornings. So those have been good to fill up a couple of those days where the OT isn't there and I work those longer days to fill the morning slots. And I think it can be really beneficial because if you have an early intervention client that does turn out to be autistic or something like that, I'm already versed in that. I can follow them. I can recommend AAC. I'm able to kind of work with them through the whole trajectory of the diagnosis process, which is really nice.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's great for parents, right? To be able to have that like continuity of care from a provider. That's fantastic.
I love that you're kind of have this niche going. You have this population that you love seeing. It's probably very fulfilling for you from a clinical point of view. And you may not have had that like at other, if you had stayed at the private practice, you were starting to build that clientele. But I love that you were able to continue to serve some percentage of those clients now in your own clinic. That's really cool.
Definitely. And I've been like starting to collaborate, like from our last call when we met and you had told me to reach out to like some local clinics. I got a couple of AAC eval referrals just from local speech therapists who are like, hey, that's awesome. That's not a service I provide, but I have kids in mind who would benefit from it. It felt kind of weird at first, like being like, oh, can I have your clients? But it's basically just been something that I see them a few times. I do an AAC eval and they can go back. Or a couple of them have said, hey, I think this client might be just a better fit for the setup you have going on. I'm going to connect you with the parent. And if you ever get anybody that's, you know, older and more interested in like language and literacy, can you send them my way? And I'm like, absolutely, because it's just not really something that interests me. So I think finding those connections that like-minded people that want what's best for their client and aren't just looking for like numbers, I think is really important. And I've found quite a few of those people locally, which has been nice.
Yeah, because there are really enough clients to go around and people have different types of clients they like to work with. And so you're absolutely right. Like if you love autistic kids, you love AAC users, Gestalt language processors. That's awesome because like they may not feel as comfortable or confident, but you do. So you can share referrals. And I love that too, because that's really part, listeners, this is part of like the new way to be in business and the new way to be in private practice. The old way was to be really competitive and to like take all the clients for yourself, even if you weren't the best person to serve them. And like today's private practitioners aren't operating that way, right? We have abundance mindsets. And we are sharing clients with whoever the best person is, knowing that there's going to be plenty of clients for all of us. So I love that you've made those local connections, Caitlin.
Yeah, I just recently had a friend text me and was like, oh, do you have opening for an after-school client with a lateral lisp? And I was like, I don't have after-school openings and I am not the type to do like lateral lisp. I can pull out my notes, but I'm sure there's someone much more well-versed in it. If not in Rhode Island, then like in Massachusetts or something.
It's just like, you're like, no,
I just don't think I'm doing that child service. And I do like phonological disorders and that sort of thing. And I've had a sprinkling of those kids that they were really nice when I was starting out looking for more long-term clients. I had one like three-year-old girl. She was in and out in 8 weeks, but it was just something to fill the time and keep up with those skills as well.
My next question for you is, where are people finding you? Like where, I know that you have like some EI clients and that kind of thing, but where are you getting the majority of your referrals from?
So I've really been pushing Google reviews recently. So I think I have 10 or 11 now, which has been really nice. And my clients' parents are just so great. Like they really put the time into like writing a thorough review, which has been really helpful. So I reached out to a couple of doctors, but I feel like that was kind of before I was really knowing what I was doing. So I just sent some like packets and cards and things like that. I definitely need to follow up with them. I did now make like a branding kit from your program. So I feel like my materials look better and more, this girl knows what she's doing. So I'm going to follow up with them and send those back out. I've gotten just some interest from Instagram. So when starting out, I had parents reach out to me through Instagram for like parent consultations. I have a family that has twins. I work with the one of them, but I've evaluated both of them and they do a lot of homeschooling groups. So they've given my information out there. And then honestly, Facebook, like the Autism Moms of Rhode Island group, the Autism Moms of Massachusetts group, people are writing in all the time, like, does anybody know anyone that can do AAC evaluations? That's not like a 6-month wait list. And I just put my information and kind of let it be. I've gotten a few AAC evals from there.
Ah, I love that. So what you're describing too is really taking this like multi-pronged approach to marketing. And like, listeners, I talk about this a lot in my Grow Your Private Practice program, but like that you have to get referrals from like different places and diversify where that is coming from. Because what happens is when you first get started, a lot of those first clients kind of happen by accident. They kind of happen by chance. By just putting yourself out there kind of in the right places, you can fill that very first part of your caseload. But when you're looking to like truly grow your practice and start to get like a steady stream of referrals from different places, you really do have to look at all of the ways that you can get referrals. And so things like Google reviews is awesome, because when people are actively searching for clinicians in your area that do your specialties and whatnot, they're going to look at those Google reviews, right? Just like we look at Amazon reviews before we buy stuff.
Yeah.
Same thing, right? But having like a good number of really good reviews can really tip the scale between someone being like, let me see what else is out there, or like, oh my gosh, like this woman sounds fantastic and is exactly what like my kid needs. So I love that you're really exploring lots of different marketing approaches and like it's working.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, marketing seemed really overwhelming for me at first, but I feel like I've had this kind of month and a half, that like things just kind of starting to really fall into place. Just like families reaching out, like I said, for AAC. I did one AAC eval months ago for a client that goes to a clinic outside of Boston, and they don't do them there. And the speech therapist has other clients who needs one. And she didn't even tell me she was going to do this, but I've gotten two more clients now who have emailed me with that same speech therapist. Yeah, I really do think the Google reviews are helping. It seems like every time I get a new really detailed Google review, like that next week, I get another client inquiry. And not every inquiry, you know, turns into a client. That's been another thing that has been an adjustment, just going from working somewhere to being like the person doing email and everything. I had a handful of clients reach out that I feel like would be really good clients for me, but they're out of network, or their insurance doesn't cover an out of network provider, or they need after 4:00 and from 3 to 6:30 every day, I'm completely booked. So it's nice to know that even though I might only be adding one or two clients a week, there's like 5 reaching out some weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's important, because you're going to have people come off your caseload, right? And that's the thing too. Sometimes when people's caseload starts to get full, they like stop marketing. But then all of a sudden, somebody moves, somebody decides to get services someplace else, like something else happens, right? And then like a couple of people come off your caseload. And so you want to be able to replace those people as quickly as possible, because your practice is growing.
So yeah, that's one thing now where both the OT and I are like thinking more long term, but the space we have is not equipped for long term growth. So we've started to like look other places. That's definitely something, but I hope to be able to kind of organize my time more eventually and maybe get someone who comes in like one evening a week, so I have one off. But something that's nice is I have 3 days a week that I don't see clients in the morning. So it's just paperwork or emails, or if I don't have any of that, like doing really whatever I want.
Yeah. And you need that balance, right? Like think back to like previous jobs and stuff where maybe you didn't have that work-life balance, right? And this is why people go into private practices, to have more control over their time, right? And so for you, I know that the after-school times are pretty popular. So that you obviously have those assigned right now and you're seeing clients in that spot. But I love that you've kept some time like for yourself, for you to focus on the business and like to really do those CEO tasks, but also to like go grocery shopping during the week or go to a doctor's appointment or go to the gym kind of thing.
I know. I look back my first job in Florida, I would see 16 kids in a day. And I look back and I'm like, how did I even... I mean, I was 8 years younger, but it's still crazy to think about. Like, it was just like, boom, boom, boom. And we would just like grab a bunch of super duper card decks and just like sit at a table and drill. And like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong using drill in therapy in a time and a place and whatnot, but I never felt like it was this really, because you didn't have time.
That's right. And that's like the problem that I see so much, especially with like school and hospital-based clinicians, is that there isn't that time, right? There's that pressure to see as many people as possible and to either see people for like really short sessions when they need more, or people in groups when a group isn't going to have them make the most progress. So I think a lot of people too are feeling just like you are, right? Where there's like, it's trial by fire. Like, you have to see all these kids. You have to just rely on drill-based stuff. But you know in your heart, like, this isn't serving people the level that they need serving. And so private practice is a great option for people who are just kind of over that life, right? They still love being a clinician. They still love the profession. But the setting that they're working in is no longer serving them or their clients. And so they want to create a new setting for themselves, which oftentimes is private practice.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Or for me, it even got to a point where I was like, I feel so bad saying it now because I feel completely different again. But like, I was coming home, like, I don't even think I like being a speech therapist anymore. Like, I was just so unhappy with where I was and what it had turned into and just being stagnant and not moving forward. Like, just, I was like, I don't even like doing this anymore. What am I going to do? And then I was like, no, I know I love doing it. It's just the kind of circumstances that I have right now. And then it just really came down to like, what am I going to do to fix it? I know it sounds like very cliche, but that was really it. I was like, am I going to go work for someone else for 5 years again and just kind of feel stagnant? Or am I going to just like try this out and see what happens?
Yeah. Tell any listeners who may be kind of on the fence about private practice, like, how did you make that decision? Because I think a lot of people are like, okay, maybe it's just my school. Maybe if I go work at another school, like, things will be better. How did you decide, like, no, I'm going to go work for myself?
I think a lot of it really did have to do with sort of my, like, specialty. And I feel like this can resonate with, like, a lot of people that work with autistic kids or AAC users or any other sort of, like, specialty population that... Some people work with more medically complex kids, for example. But for me, it just came down to like, I knew that there was another way that things could be done. And the sort of setup of my last job was I worked in an outpatient clinic, but a lot of my clients were in All Day ABA, which was a sister company. So I saw a lot of clients during that time. So I didn't have a lot of time to talk with parents. I didn't do a lot of parent coaching. I wasn't able to connect on that level. And so I kind of felt like my wheels were just spinning with all this new information I knew, but I was never really able to share it with the people that are with these kids more than anybody else. And the clients I did see outpatient, their parents were like, oh, we've never seen like play therapy like this, or we've never seen our child so engaged. And I was like, well, think of how many clients I could help if I saw every client with their parent, or I had every parent have availability to call me and like talk about this. So for me, it just kind of came down to, I knew I had this education of this approach, and I knew that it was working with clients that were able to access it and wanting to broaden the number of people that are able to access it was ultimately, for me, the deciding factor. And I think it just got tiring to, like, whatever population you work with, just doing a ton of work for not so much money and sending in my monthly billing and seeing how much went to the company and how much I was missing out on. And granted, you have to save a lot of that now for taxes anyway, but it just seems to be more fulfilling to be a part of something smaller but bigger.
Yeah. Well, because now you can go deeper. You can have a bigger impact on, yes, a smaller number of people, but you can actually feel like you're really changing those people's lives and also your own, right? Like, think about just your own fulfillment and your own ability to have that flexible schedule and the finances that you want. Like, I'm just so happy that you didn't leave the profession, right? Back when you're like, I was thinking about leaving, like, yeah, all the time. And I'm so happy that you stayed, Caitlin, because look at what's happened.
Yeah, I know. Me too. When I started working for myself, like the first few weeks, or because I was first doing like 3 days at my other job, 2 days at my practice. The 2 days at my practice, I would come home. My husband would be like, oh my God, like this is like, you need to be doing this all the time. You're like a different person on like Tuesday and Friday versus Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
And it's like something to be said too. I do really try with like work-life balance and boundaries when I'm at home, but it's more motivating to kind of open up your computer and work on something that you're really passionate about and you know that you're going to get fulfilled from versus sort of like doing it for someone else for nothing.
It hits different, doesn't it? I love that. I'm just so happy again that you have found your way to the profession in the first place, but like that you found your way to private practice and now you're again able to serve people on a much deeper level. And bring services to, like, I'm not sure about, like, your area of Rhode Island, but, like, there may not be as many services for autistic kids or AAC users. So, like, that's, I mean, I live right outside of Boston, and there's Children's Hospital, and there's, like, a lot of AAC options over here. But just what you said, they do have really long wait lists, or they do evaluations only, but no treatment. So, I'm just so happy that you're able to, like, bring the services to your area. Kids and adults need the care and they need more providers to be doing this.
Definitely. There's a handful of clinics around here for sure, but I think for the most part, they're just traditional outpatient speech clinics. It's not really a specialty service. Like they might have an AAC specialist, for example, but even that, there was one locally that I was sort of nervous about because I got a new client and he went there and he was going to stay there and come to me because long story short, he was an AAC user, not really making a ton of progress. Mom read about Gestalt language. She was like, I think this is my son. She went on the registry, found me. I reached out to them and I was like, oh, they're probably not going to like that he's coming to me as well. And she was like, I have worked with him for like 3 years, we have been so stuck. Like, I don't know Gestalt language. Like, I'm super open to trying this approach. And now he sees both of us and she's taking the meaningful speech course and like he's actually using his device. So it's been kind of these conversations that I thought would be really difficult or met with conflict, and people have been pretty receptive overall. There's been bumps in the road for sure for my practice. It's not like every day has been amazing, but I have had some conversations that I was nervous to have and they've been fine.
That's so good. And just to have that connection with parents again, right? I know, especially people who are in more traditional settings, like they miss that, right? Like maybe they had that in grad school, or maybe they had that when they did early intervention or something, but you know, to be able to have that connection with parents who, just like you said, are spending way more time with their kids than you are. So then you're getting that carryover, then the child is making more progress and you are like truly making the difference that you were born to make. So I'm so proud of you. And I think you've done amazing things. Before we wrap up, do you have any last minute advice to people who are thinking about starting a private practice?
Yeah, I think just start small, as in like do one task a week, make a list, check it off, start small. Don't compare, use other people for guidance, but don't compare yourself. Everybody wants to have a different practice. Everybody has a different goal. We're not all looking for the same thing. And I mean, there's just room at the table for everybody, but definitely start small and know that everybody has bad days and is part of the process, but just kind of keep moving forward every day and do one new thing that will take you closer to kind of getting it started.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic advice. For anyone who's listening who might want to connect with you online, where can they find you?
So I would say my biggest presence is on Instagram. I'm at Caitlin Mulcahy SLP. So I post a lot there about AAC, Gestalt language, that sort of thing. And then in my bio there, I have a link to like my actual practice Instagram, but I just kind of did what you said and did like the 6 posts. So it has an Instagram, but I'm not constantly having to update it.
Absolutely. Just listeners, for those of you who want to know what we're talking about. So in the Grow program, I teach a strategy that is for people who want to have an Instagram presence, but don't want to have to be posting all the time. So a lot of our growers have found that to be really helpful to just use their attention and their time in other places and not feel like they're getting sucked into Instagram. But anyway, but thank you so much, Caitlin, for being on the show, being interviewed. And I just really, truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for sharing your story with our listeners. And it has been so much fun to watch you like grow in the Grow program. And I just want you to keep going and keep serving your community.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, don't you just love Caitlin? I love how she wasn't getting to do enough AAC in traditional settings, so she created her own private practice. She is a perfect example of someone who wanted more work-life balance and found that and so much more through private practice. If you would like to learn more about private practice school and the programs that we offer to support SLPs and OTs at all levels of private practice, just like we help Caitlin, please visit privatepracticeschool.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.